Please be seated. This morning, the topic for our mutual encouragement is the power of intercession. Intercession means to pray for one another. And the Bible tells us there is power from intercession. Let's turn to James chapter 5, verse 16. James 5:16. James chapter 5, verse 16. Joanne, can you read for us, please? 5:16. Here tell us the secret of make your prayer powerful and effective. Remember a few days ago we talked about that. The first one, of course, we have to confess our sin and clear the blockage. Make sure you are having the signal, the reception from the Lord. And if there's anything hidden in between, you have to remove it. And thank God and by His grace for the past 2 weeks, we have been here praying, repenting, confessing. We have cleansed ourselves so much that just like a toilet being washed every single day, every single hours. If you go to five-star hotels, the toilet is different than a public toilet, right? Why five-star hotel is called five-star? Because every time there's someone use it, you know, the attendant was there, will clean it right away. So imagine yourself, your heart is just like a toilet, right? Has been constantly defiled by the world. But you can keep it clean if you are very careful. If you limit whoever can enter your heart. And even if it is defiled a little bit, you have to cleanse it by the Word of God. Cleanse it by the Holy Spirit. So that you will be like a five-star hotel toilet. Even though it's not that perfect, but at least not stinky, not dirty. It's still five-star. But the Bible said, in order for your prayer to be powerful and effective, you cannot just focus on yourself. Because God is love. Love is to connect to other people and to help other people. That's why God came to the world to save us in flesh, which is Lord Jesus Christ. So there is a danger of prayer that if a person just want to pray for himself, just focus in his own spiritual advancement, just focus on his own holiness or righteousness, he'll be a little bit self-centered. He will be a little bit selfish, and he didn't even care the rest of other people, or even didn't care about the spiritual community, the spiritual body that we are having. So the way of powerful and effective prayer is you have to pray for each other. If you look at what the Bible put it, here said if you pray, if you confess and pray for each other, so that you will be healed. Very meaningful. We all are wounded somehow. We all are weak. If everybody just focusing on repairing himself, healing himself, you will not be healed totally. But if we open our hearts and let our prayer, the scope, be bigger, include other people in our prayer life, then not only other people can be healed, but you yourself can also be healed because you are not focusing on yourself anymore. This is very wonderful. This is how God wants our spiritual life to work. When will you be healed? When you are not just focusing yourself. You focus also on helping other people. Why it is so important for intercession to take place? I'll give you a few reasons. First, Lord Jesus Christ, his primary job right now is praying for us. Even though he has done his work, he came to the world to be nailed on the cross, but his work is not finished. He's still constantly doing something, which is to pray for us. Let's turn to Hebrews chapter 7, 7:25. Next. Here tell us the two process of salvation. The first salvation, the first step is when you rely on Jesus coming to God, in front of God. That is the first step. When you didn't know God, you didn't connect to him, you were a sinner, you did all the crazy things before. But now because of the sacrifice of Lord Jesus Christ, he came to this world, he shed his blood, he washed away your sin. So when you were very far, but now you were brought before him. But that was only the first step, the first stage. Jesus knew that his work is not finished, even though he'd already died for you on the cross. Because from lost to in front of God is one thing, but from in front of God, being able to be united with God and to be eternally with God in the future is an other difficult journey. Just like we learn from the book of Joshua. Leaving Egypt is not that difficult. Doesn't take much effort because they want to leave it. It's that they are desperate. They just follow Moses. The Red Sea already opened. They crossed. They left Egypt. But from the side of the Red Sea to land of Canaan is harder. People didn't die crossing the Red Sea. People weren't killed by the Egyptian army. People died by disobedience in the wilderness. They died by disbelief. They died by their lust of the flesh. They died by complaining. They died by the weaknesses of themselves. So Jesus knew the first step is complete. You are safe in Christ. Yes, you are safe, but you are not yet totally saved. So that second part of the journey is even harder. So Jesus knows that even he has ascended to heaven, but the salvation plan is not finished. So that's why he has to be there, to be at the right hand of the Father, every single day praying for you and me, so that ultimately he can save us to the end. So it tells us, intercession can save people and deliver people from the pit of falling, from the dungeon that they are going into. Sometimes when you see a people are going away, when you see a person is leaving the church, when you see someone is going to weaknesses, it is hard to just remain silent. But at the same time, when you say anything, it may not help because they won't listen, because people are stubborn and people won't see it. But intercession can save, can deliver. Let's look at Luke chapter 22. Luke chapter 22, verse 31. Luke chapter 22, verse 31. Next, please. Here, Lord Jesus Christ told Simon. Actually, he renamed Simon to be Peter. Peter means rock, supposed to be strong. But now Peter is not strong. Peter, he himself is very weak. But he didn't know. That is the problem. The biggest problem is not that we are feeling weak. The biggest problem is when we are actually very weak spiritually, but we didn't know. We thought that we are okay. And that is the biggest problem. Because if you know you are weak, you admit it. You ask Jesus to help you. You'll be more careful. Then you will not fall into temptation. But the biggest problem is you think you are okay, but actually you are not. So Jesus said, "Simon, Simon, Satan wanted to have you." Today, Jesus is telling us the same thing. All the brothers and sisters in NYTS, yes, you are very spiritually recharged. You are cleaned up for the past 2 weeks. But don't be so happy, right? The moment you walk out of this door tomorrow, devil is waiting. The moment you open your computer again by yourself, devil is waiting. The moment you turn on your cell phone, browse and watch everything, the moment the devil is waiting. The moment you go back to your college, you are surrounded by not these NYTS people, but the people of Pharaoh. Devil is waiting. And he wanting to have you. Why? When you go back to your family, the family problems comes again, you get frustrated easily. The devil wanted to have you because you are the next generation of True Jesus Church. God wants to use you. God loves you. But devil also don't want to let you go. But Jesus knew it. And there's only one thing can stop devil's work. And he knew it ahead, and he have prayed for Peter. Jesus did not say, "I am praying for you." Jesus did not say, "I will pray for you." Jesus said, "I have already prayed for you." Because Jesus knew, and Jesus did it early. At that time, Peter haven't even committed any sin yet. He haven't even denied Jesus. He hasn't even go back to fishing. But Jesus already prayed for him. And Jesus knew by this prayer, Peter will be preserved. Even though he was weak, but he will come back. And when he came back, he will help many others to stay strong. Can you imagine if Peter was so weak that he is lost totally? The other disciples will all follow him. And if all the 12 disciples follow him, already one Judas is dead already, right, spiritually. And Peter is the leader. If he falls weak, nobody will stand up. And Jesus will have wasted 3 years. And he will have wasted his salvation. He's dying on the cross. So he knew the key is Peter. And he cannot fall weak. And he prayed for Peter. Of course, this is to tell us, brother and sister, you have to pray for us, the minister, too, right? Because we go everywhere to help brother and sister to preach the word of God. And sometimes you feel weak spiritually and physically. You have to pray for the worker of God, just like what Jesus did. And for you, brother and sister, you have come here and you get to know so many brother and sister, not only in the prayer session, but from now on, you should remember each other. You should tell yourself, "I'm not lonely. I should have my group of spiritual friends," which even connected through prayer groups, prayer support groups, is very important. I read one of the assignments of a student telling me that he lived in a small, small town. Actually, it's a city, but there's no True Jesus Church. There's only a few adults, and he's one of the four adults in that place. When I read, I was very touched. He said, "It's not easy to keep the faith. If you live in Irvine, if you live in Southern Cal, wow, the church is so big, so many people, there's so many events. When you invite people, your friend coming to church, you feel good, right? This is my church. Wow." But where he was living, there's only a few people and gathered in his own house. And every time when they gather for service, they play the online live stream, the sermon. So he felt so lonely. Every time he come here, he was so happy, but he had to go back and he will be lonely again. But I told him, you will not be lonely. You have to find your spiritual friend here. Form your online prayer group. Now you are living in just an advanced age, right? It takes no money to call each other, even group calls. Online, you have Line, WeChat, WhatsApp, whatever. Kudo. Depends on who you are, right? You can use technology to form prayer groups together. Nearby or in the same region or same time zone, even two or three of you. Jesus said, if two of you gather in my name, I will be with them. I'll be in their midst. So don't let devil destroy us one by one. If you stick together, if your power of prayer be connected, it is different. You know, supercomputer, the super server, you think that, wow, we must have a big, big tower of supercomputer. But I read before that if you are able to network and connect like 100 laptops together, that 100 laptops connected together can function as a supercomputer. The calculating power being connected, being utilized. One laptop is running, the solving power is so slow. But connect together is different. So brother and sister, individually we are weak. But when you are connected together, we are strong. I heard a testimony recently. A sister was having a very severe and very strange illness that her immune system will attack herself. So when things happen, she will feel pain in her joints, in her skin, and her body is so weak. And he went for all the checkup, and the doctor cannot find any cure for her sickness. She told the church to pray for her, and there is a group of sisters online every day agree to pray for their sister together. So she felt a little bit supported because even though she know other people will pray for her, but there are so many things to pray for in the church, right? And people usually don't say anything. Oh, I know she need prayer, pray and go home. But you don't even tell people you are praying for her. But that sister, thank God she had a prayer group to pray for her. She was given steroid to reduce her pain. But the side effect was so great. So she told the doctor, I think I should stop that medicine because it's giving so much side effect. And she stopped taking those medicine. And after a few days, the situation worsened so much. Her worst nightmare came, and the illness come again, attack her. She has so much pain in her body. She cannot even move. That day, she was lying on the bed by herself. Her husband, don't know why, but on that day, turns out that he came home early from work, want to check about the wife. And when he saw her lying on the ground, almost lifelessly, almost, like a dead person, cannot even move. The husband was so, so worried. And he told her, don't worry, let's pray. And the sister said, no, I cannot pray. Because her body was so weak. Her spirit was also so weak. She felt hopeless. She felt that the Lord may have deserted me. I'm not loved by him anymore. She wanted to give up. But the husband was so worried. And the husband said, it's okay. If you cannot pray, I will pray for you. And the sister didn't reply anything. But the brother, the husband, grabbed her, hold her, and pray. That brother have not even received the Holy Spirit. But he prayed so hard. He prayed so hard that his tears fell from his eyes. Because he was holding her tight. Of course, they're husband and wife. She's holding her tight. The cheek, the face was touching her face. And when the brother's tears drop, also touch the sister's face. And the sister said, the moment she was touched by the tears of her husband, suddenly there was a tremendous power. She felt that God is love. She felt that God has not abandoned me. She felt that there's still hope. And she said that not only her husband's prayer she felt, but suddenly she felt that the prayer group has been praying for her. And that strength transformed into the love of God and touched her heart. Even though she is still physically weak, but she felt God is loving me. She shared with me, yes, my husband loved me so much by praying for me, I felt it. But the prayer group also delivered me, otherwise I would have become hopeless. Wow, when I heard about her testimony, one more time I was encouraged. Yes, it's not about us. It's not about how strong we can be. We are very weak individually. But we must utilize the power of intercession. Not only from here. From reading your assignment, I know that every one of us actually have a lot of struggle. This generation is not easy. Sometimes I really pity you. I was so lucky, I'm not 18 years old now. Right? Because the challenges you are facing is different than our generation. Plus, so many family problems, so many dramas, and the society give you so much pressure. The more social media there is, actually, the more lonely the heart. Actually, many people in this world are very lonely. Isolated, empty in the heart. And many youth, they are in the margin of leaving the church. Wherever I go, I discover one problem, is we are losing so many youth everywhere. Of course, if you are willing to come to NYTS, you are not that marginal. I hope it's not, right? I hope it's not. But at least you're willing to come for 2 weeks. But there are so many youth, they don't even bother. They don't even bother thinking to come. They don't even bother about coming to church every Sabbath. Or when they come to church, they are hanging with their cell phone. Or they do not talk to people. I see there are so many lost souls, so many marginal youth. Now, you come to NYTS, doesn't matter how much you know. Of course, you learn the truth. But what does Jesus want you to do for him? Go back to your local church. Look around. Don't think that I am better than them. Don't think that I am NYTS graduate. I already did my sermon. I have 100%. Or I go to PMVP. So what? If you don't have love, if you go back, you don't even reach out to those people who are in the margin. You don't talk to them. You don't pray for them. You come here in vain. Even Jesus, his main job is to pray for those who is being lost. So in this prayer, think about who need your prayer. And think about when I go back, who should I reach out to? Don't focus on your problem, brother and sister. Don't let your prayer be so self-focused, self-pity, self-concern. Your problem, you tell God, leave it to God. You should learn from Lord Jesus Christ. I always remember one testimony, very powerful. There was a brother, he has been praying for the Holy Spirit for so many years, from young age to young manhood, and then to adults. He still haven't got his Holy Spirit at that time. Sometimes he become pretty disappointed. No matter what method he tried, like fasting or saying hallelujah real fast, or think about something really touching, like Jesus died on the cross. So he asked people a lot of different tricks. Like, oh, how to get the Holy Spirit, how to pray for the Holy Spirit. But they still haven't got it. So he was pretty disappointed sometime. But there was one time in the prayer that there was an announcement. We have to pray for the member in Africa, because in that particular place, they were having trials, they were having suffering, they were having a very tough time. So we have to pray for those who are in suffering, in persecution. So that brother, on that prayer, he decided, I'm not even bothered worrying, praying that much for myself. This prayer, I have to pray for someone else. I have to pray for someone that I don't even know. I have to pray for them. Having received Holy Spirit doesn't stop me from praying for other people powerfully. So he decided he have to pray for other people so seriously. In that prayer, he was so touched, even he cried. And it was that moment he was given the Holy Spirit. He was not even praying for the Holy Spirit. But when he prayed for others, God has given him what he had been asking for. Yes, you yourself have problem. You need healing. But the book of James tells us, by confessing and intercession, you, that's been a collective you, will be healed. Let's come forward, pray, and be healed.